answer for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Juliet Huddy. As you heard, Deb is following the news. Christian and Gabby are at the controls. Sid is up with sports at 5:15. And lots of stuff trending today. Obviously, Frank had mentioned that really explosive letter. I just love the fact that we are not going to be giving our editorial opinion on this one, because I think mine would be controversial. Buckingham Palace is demanding that a bus that supports Trump removes a doctored image of the Queen wearing a MAGA hat and a QAnon brooch. And in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, to travel or not to travel with a pet? That's the question one of our listeners had about bringing pets along on an international vacation. And I did a little research, Frank, so I have some tips.
Excellent. And David Wildstein, the editor of the New Jersey Globe, is going to join us a little later this hour to give us an update on what's happening with the New Jersey governor's race and all other things New Jersey. Meanwhile, speaking of New Jersey, a man who can describe for you exactly how bad the traffic is in that state is lucky enough to join Juliet and me every 10 minutes.
No doubt.
On the sevens. Hello there, Joe.
No doubt. I am the luckiest man on the face of the earth. There's no doubt about that.
That's right. Lou Gehrig wishes not only that he was alive, but that he was doing traffic reports.
Eastbound Route 3 coming into Meadowlands Parkway. Road construction. Three lanes are out at the Hackensack River Bridge. Yesterday, remember, that didn't get out of there until after 7 o'clock, so hopefully that won't happen again today. If you're on the Connecticut Turnpike, I-95 southbound coming into New York State right at 287, slow traffic and accident being cleared. Inbound Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, one lane closed. Overnight road work both ways. Verrazano upper and lower level closed again. Overnight road work there as well. And the Transit Authority. We have delays on the number 4 and on the F and alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations again today are going to be suspended. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joseph. Yep. Today it is going to be lovely, just like it was yesterday. Absolutely beautiful. Sunny with maybe some clouds, but overall it's going to be absolutely warm and lovely. 70 degrees. Friday, 74 degrees. Wow, we're really getting up there. Mostly sunny skies. Same thing with Saturday. Really going to be nice. Sunday looks pretty good too. 73 degrees, although we might have some thunderstorms in the evening. And currently the temperature in New York City is 53.
And it's good news for drivers facing panic at the pump. Experts say the gas shortages and long lines will be over in time for the busy Memorial Day travel weekend. A major pipeline running from Texas to New York is back online after a cyber attack, but it'll take days for service to return to normal. That means thousands of gas stations in the Southeast could stay dry this week. This comes as the national gas price average tops $3. The prices I saw coming in today were about $3.10 or $3.11 coming in.
Oof. All right, well, just as long as it isn't Italy or France or the UK or Croatia, where it is that President Biden has chosen former Congressman and Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel as U.S. Ambassador to Japan. The Financial Times reporting 8 people familiar with the White House personnel discussion confirmed the speculation. The choice is a good one, at least in the eyes of the Japanese, who seem to work better with ambassadors who once held lawmaker roles, and Rahm Emanuel certainly has. They reportedly appreciate the gravitas, apparently, that comes with people who have worked in Congress, worked in, you know, governmental capacities. Emanuel served as chief of staff for President Obama, but left after just a couple of years. Insiders say he has a solid relationship with Biden and will likely be a beneficial conduit between the two countries.
Congresswoman Liz Cheney intends to fight to help restore the Republican Party. She spoke to NBC's Today Show after being stripped of the third highest ranking position in the House. That interview will air this morning, but in a preview, she vows not to participate in what she calls the really dangerous effort that's underway. The GOP vote came a week after she called former President Trump's claim of a stolen election the big lie.
The Biden administration has set up a slew of partnerships with companies all across the states to help encourage folks to go and get those vaccinations. Starting May 24th, Uber and Lyft rideshare services will give folks free rides to vaccination sites, which is fantastic. The agreement, of course, is meant to help stop the declining vaccination rate, so we ultimately achieve a countrywide vaccination level of roughly 70% by July 4th, which is when the rideshare program ends. And President Biden also announced several other agreements earlier this week, including vaccination sites at community colleges and other places like that. Meantime, FEMA reps will be hitting the pavement, touting the shots as well. Mickey D's has redesigned its coffee cups to help promote vaccine awareness as part of their agreement with the White House as well.
The value of cryptocurrency is plunging after Tesla stopped car purchases in Bitcoin. CEO Elon Musk tweeted his electric car company was hitting the brakes because of environmental concerns, but he plans to use it again when Bitcoin mining transitions to more sustainable energy. After his tweet, the cryptocurrency market dropped $340 billion.
Wow. Do you have
cryptocurrency? Some tweet? I don't. I used to hold stock that was involved in a company that was involved in cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. It was called. Well, it doesn't matter what it's called. I don't want to promote any particular stock. But I sold it, and I have no cryptocurrency assets at the moment.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I have enough trouble with my own dollar bills. I can't add more.
Well, you know why a lot of people may want to invest in cryptocurrency? Because I learned this on the Cats at Night show yesterday. It is the currency of ransomware people. So a lot of these ransomware people that hack your computer or your pipeline and they want to be paid off, a lot of them want to be paid in Bitcoin or some similar cryptocurrency.
Yeah, well, okay. I hope we don't get ransomwared.
Same here.
I don't know that I'm going to get. I don't really think I have anything that is that valuable. A warning to parents, especially moms and dads whose kids have suffered from a concussion. A scientist down in Australia, actually several of them, studied the effects of concussions on more than 89,000 children over the past 40 years. So I guess this is what you would call a pretty solid study, I would say. And it turns out a third of the kids who've had a concussion have gone on to develop anxiety, depression, or other mental health issues. So it is something that you really need to be aware of and keep an eye out for.
Fans of Chick-fil-A, be warned. Those famous dipping sauces are running out. Some fast food locations don't even have any on hand. Others are limiting how many they give out with each order because of an industry-wide shortage. Customers will only get one packet with each entree and two per meal. And for the popular 30-count nuggets, prepare for just three sauces. The company assures it's working to solve this dipping sauce shortage quickly.
Why is there a shortage?
I don't know. I think it's a combination of disruptions to the supply chain, but I think it also might be tied to the chicken shortage that we've been chronicling.
Oh,
okay. And the ketchup shortage. There's a ketchup shortage as well.
Lots of shortages that we've been chronicling.
That's right.
We always like to talk about sleep deprivation on this show because we're all deprived of sleep at times. And we now know that sleep deprivation causes us health problems like dementia, may take years off our lives. And we're finding out even more lovely news from the challenging world of sleep. A study of nearly 700 middle-aged women showed prescription sleep aids like Ambien and Lunesta didn't help women sleep better in the long run. So basically, in summary, what this thing is saying is that if you're having problems sleeping, yeah, these meds can help in the short run, but experts think that there's way more to getting a good night's sleep, and it's not all about the pills, and at some point, those pills will not become as effective for you.
Do you take any of that stuff ever?
No, I mean, I take sometimes Tylenol PM. I take, some herbal stuff, but it's just I can never find anything that's really helpful.
Yeah. No, it's a tricky thing. If you can't sleep, you're willing to do anything to try it. And I know a lot of people that have gotten into trouble using Ambien, both in the short term and, as you described in that story, the long term.
So I've taken Ambien and I've written letters to my bosses in the middle of the night. I've done some crazy things on Ambien, so I can't take that
explains
anymore.
Explains that heated email I got from you last week. Sid, do you take any of that Ambien or anything like that?
No, I don't take anything. I take melatonin.
Yeah.
Right.
I used to take the drink. What was that? I don't know, the 90s or something
Sleepy
like that.
Time tea?
Yeah, but it made me really tired. So then I started eating edibles, And that made me too tired, so now I'm just straight melatonin. That's it.
All right.
Well, yeah.
All right. Well, what's happening in the world of sports, Sid, besides the New York Mets? They're unstoppable. They're going to have to be broken up.
They are unstoppable. They won again a matinee affair in Queens yesterday. Our old friend Matt Harvey back on the mound in Queens, this time on the other team on Baltimore, and he got roughed up. Mets beat the Orioles 7-1 yesterday, earned their seventh consecutive win. Break them up, as Frank just said. 18-13, still a game up on the Philadelphia Phillies in first place. The Mets were not nice to Matt Harvey. Just over four innings of work, seven runs all earned, eight hits. But Matt Harvey still appreciated his return to Queens.
Obviously, there's been so many ups and downs here at this ballpark and with this organization that, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. And what they gave me, what the fans gave me out there was pretty incredible.
Tawan Walker becoming a big story for the Mets this season. Seven innings pitched, only one run yesterday. He's now 3-1 and pitching to a 2.20 ERA. The Mets are off today. They start a series in Tampa Bay against the Rays tomorrow. Talking about the Rays, the Yankees had him again yesterday, and they beat him again. This time, Gerrit Cole, just amazing. Eight shutout innings. Don't look now, but Cole is 5-1 and pitching to a 1.37 ERA as the Yanks shut out the Rays yesterday 1-0. Here's Aaron Boone on his starter, who may be the best in baseball.
Yeah, he's an ace. I mean, he is an absolute bulldog, and, you know, I think he lives for, you know, pitching when it's tough and in the biggest of games.
Yankees improved to 20-16. Guess what? They're only one game behind the Boston Red Sox for first place inside the American League East. They've got the Rays again today before starting a weekend series in Baltimore against the Orioles. The Nets put eight players in double figures last night. James Harden came back and scored 18 points, and they blew out San Antonio 128-116. Brooklyn improves to 46-24, still a game and a half behind the 76ers for the top spot in the East. The Knicks are back on the court tonight. They'll host those same San Antonio Spurs. Knicks start today's action, the 5 seed, tied with Miami, half game behind the Atlanta Hawks for the 4 seed. Hockey last night, Edmonton over Montreal, Ottawa over Toronto, Vegas, St. Louis, and Colorado all shutout wins in Stanley Cup hockey. This sports report brought to you by Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boilers. Check them out at PeerlessBoilers.com and PavilionTankless.com. Sports at 15 and 45. For the WABC Early News, I'm Sid.
Joe Nolan, who's got traffic and transit on the 7s, I was actually thinking of you yesterday. I used to be able to fly into Midtown Manhattan 45 to 60 minutes at most. Now, the ride in is a crawl, not only because of road work, but volume. It seems like we're really seeing the effect of New York reopening, aren't we?
Oh, there's no doubt. The Hudson River crossings during the middle of the day even sometimes have a 10, 15-minute delay. There's a lot more people coming into the city than there was a couple of months ago. There's no question about that. Cross Island Parkway as you travel northbound, getting up towards the area of the Throgs Neck Bridge. A little bit of a delay up there just with a brake check. Same thing on the LIE coming in through Queens Boulevard. Up in Connecticut, southbound on the Connecticut Turnpike at 287. A collision there being cleared. Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, only one lane open each way. That for overnight road work. We still have delays on the 4 and the F and alternate side of the street. Parking rules again today are suspended. This report, a service of Audible. Give spring a whole new sound with Audible Plus. Listen all you want to thousands of select Audible originals, audiobooks, and podcasts, including exclusive series. Start a free 30-day trial when you sign up at audible.com. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joe. Yep. The jobless numbers are out today, I believe, Frank. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so you'll have that in your business report coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 540. Which type of traveler is best to bring their pet along? I mean, believe it or not, this is actually an important question to ask yourself if you're thinking about taking Fido on vacation with you. So I'll have some tips.
This is the WABC Early News.
All eyes are on Wall Street today after stocks tanked yesterday. Inflation quickened at its fastest clip since 2008, according to numbers released yesterday. The Consumer Price Index spiked 4.2% from a year ago, 0.6% higher than expected. The numbers led to many traders deciding it's time to cash in. At the close, the Dow Jones dropped 681 points. The S&P 500 lost 89 points. and the NASDAQ fell 357 points. Weekly jobless numbers come out this morning. Economists expect to see 451,000 Americans filed initial claims last week, down from 560,000 the week before. The numbers are due at 8:30. Also due at 8:30, the producer price index for April. Analysts are forecasting a 0.5% rise in producer prices over March and a 6.1% increase over April of last year.
Julie? Anniversary, yep. Thank you, has quietly come and gone again. The parents of missing British girl Madeleine McCann remembered their daughter earlier this week at their home in Leicestershire, UK. They do every year and often invite the media to come by. But this year was a little bit different. You might recall Madeleine disappeared from a resort at which her family was vacationing back in 2007. And it really has turned into the most heavily reported missing persons case in history. That is according to The Telegraph, with people around the world riveted for years trying to figure out who took her? What happened to her? Her body has never been found. And that led some people to believe that she was taken for sex trafficking. Others blame the parents, the local police force. I mean, it's just been a mess. But this week, at the home that her parents never left, and they keep a shrine there for her, her parents put out another round of birthday gifts. This time she would have turned 18 years old. Ugh.
So sad.
Oh, it's such an awful story. I don't know if you've seen any of the documentaries that have been done on this story, but it is just really, really horrific. Such a heartbreaking story. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about a nightmare. Wow. Thousands of New Yorkers are showing their support for Israel. Crowds packed into Times Square last night for a rally in support of Israel, as it has been a severe there's been a severe escalation in violence this week. The rally was organized by the Israel American Council, which held similar gatherings in cities around the country. Other New Yorkers are on the side of the Palestinians, evidenced by a rally the day before where thousands protested Israel's bombing of the Gaza Strip.
All right. This is a wild one. So a woman wakes up from tonsil surgery speaking with an Irish accent. What's the problem? Well, number one, she is from Australia. Number two, she had an Australian accent prior to the operation, not to mention the fact that she has never been to Ireland. Her name is Angie McKeon, and she posted a video on TikTok explaining the linguistic conundrum. Listen.
Freaking out about why this is happening to me, and I went to the hospital, and I also called my specialist and asked them why this is happening, and they couldn't provide any answers. They just told me to just sit tight and let the body heal after my tonsil surgery.
Isn't that insane?
Last Monday.
Thanks, Christian. I mean,
that is
completely
crazy.
Bizarre. Medical experts say it's likely she's not faking the whole thing. Rather, they
that's
think
what I was going to say.
Yeah,
she's
well,
be faking.
I don't. Apparently, it's a medical condition. There is a medical condition called foreign accent syndrome, which just sounds completely bizarre. But I mean, it pretty much explains the issue. Doctors say it is very rare. We've only seen about 100 cases since they started reporting this in 1907. Isn't that nuts?
Jeez.
I would love to wake up with a British accent.
Well,
that would be the best.
I don't think they let you choose your accent.
No,
what you're describing.
But you know, maybe I'll just pretend. I'll do the deep fake.
Yeah,
start
well,
speaking.
I say you go for it. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
President Biden is nearing his goal of having 70% of the nation protected against the coronavirus by July 4th. He told MSNBC it's almost at 59% right now of at least one shot. He says he's always believed enough people would get vaccinated, adding more are showing up as they see how easy it is. He's also urging parents to let their kids get the Pfizer vaccine after the CDC approved it. He calls it a giant step in the fight against the pandemic.
Okay, this is one of my catnip type stories. I love these. All right, back in the 80s, archaeologists digging at the famed Herculaneum site near Naples, Italy, found a human skeleton, and they deduced it was probably just a soldier. The site was decimated back in 79 AD, of course, when Mount Vesuvius erupted and buried both it and its more famous sister town, Pompeii, under lava and rubble. Well, fresh analysis has turned the original assessment upside down. Scientists now believe the skeleton wasn't from some random soldier. They think it was a senior naval officer sent on a daring mission by the Roman commander Pliny the Elder to rescue the residents of the ancient town. Officials believe that the officer was probably sent from the waters off the coast of Naples to direct the people toward the beach so that he could evacuate them into the Bay of Naples into some of the ships that were waiting there. I mean, how cool is that?
That is cool.
I love that story.
Congresswoman Ilhan Omar is being criticized for accusing Israel of terrorism in its recent airstrikes against Palestinians. The Minnesota Democrat tweeted that Israel's airstrikes on the Gaza Strip during Ramadan were, quote, an act of terrorism and that Palestinians deserve protection. The strikes came after Hamas fired rockets at Israel in response to Israeli raids inside a sacred mosque in Jerusalem. Omar's tweet against Israel was criticized yesterday by Republican Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, who said she was out of her mind and called Hamas terrorists who use rockets to try and kill Israelis.
Marco Rubio. I like that. Parents are teed off over a T-shirt line carried by Walmart. The clothing is designed for girls and boys. The boys' tops had stereotypically masculine slogans like adventure and alpine trails written on them. The girls' T-shirts had messages like take it easy and a whole lot of love. And apparently angry moms and dads say that this is sexist and their kids are being force-fed gender roles and they want the clothing canceled. Now.
Someone we definitely do not want canceled is the man responsible for traffic and transit every 10 minutes on the sevens, the one and only Joe Nolan.
Well, thank you, Frank. That's very nice of you. And again, as you travel southbound on the Connecticut Turnpike, we're slow. Coming down to 287, again, that collision continues. It's still in the process of being cleared up and out of the way. So as you come off the Turnpike and come on to the New England Thruway, you've got that. On the inbound side of the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, only one lane is open. The overnight work, that should be out of there within the half hour. Same thing at the Verrazano Bridge on that lower level. We had delays on the 4 and the F trains. Looks like that's getting a little better. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations, again, today are going to be suspended. And this reporter service of Audible gives spring a whole new sound with Audible Plus. Listen all you want to thousands of select Audible originals, audiobooks, and podcasts, including exclusive series. Start a free 30-day Audible Plus trial when you sign up at audible.com. With Traffic on the Sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
All right, Joe, coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 540, a fascinating island that mixes beach vibes with Islamic mystique, Venetian history, and Turkish culture. I love this. And now you can travel there. But first, Deb's got your headlines.
From the 77 WABC Early News Desk, I'm Deborah Ballantyne. A 28-year-old NYPD officer shot three times in the Bed-Stuy section of Brooklyn late last night in stable condition at Kings County Hospital. The name of the officer not yet released. The series of events started involving three gang members with a man running up to a white SUV and opening fire. NYPD Commissioner Dermot Shea.
You have a male run up to that white SUV and begin to fire shots into it. We have recovered five shell casings at that scene. The white SUV crashes a short time later, and the result of that initial shooting is one of the occupants is deceased, one of the occupants is suffering from a non-fatal gunshot injury, and one of the occupants is uninjured.
Three officers spotted a man running and blading his body at nearby Saratoga Park.
The sergeant in the auto does not fire his weapon. And again, this is all preliminary. One of the officers fires 12 rounds. One of the officers fires 9 rounds. The officer that fires 9 rounds, and we are not identifying him at this time as we complete notifications, is struck, we believe, 3 times.
The officer was hit in his bulletproof vest, his leg and buttocks. Meanwhile, the 26-year-old suspect shot in his leg at Brookdale University Hospital is expected to survive as well, and charges are pending. The alleged Times Square shooter captured down in Florida yesterday, Farrakhan Muhammad, is suspected of shooting 3 people in Times Square Saturday during a dispute with his brother. Chief of Detectives for the NYPD is James Essig.
Members of the United States Marshal's Office apprehended Farrakhan Muhammad in a McDonald's parking lot in Stark, Florida, just outside of Jacksonville.
Muhammad will be extradited back to New York to face charges. Meanwhile, all 3 victims, including a 4-year-old girl, are recovering. A big announcement from New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo yesterday. He said state beaches and pools will go to 100% capacity, but not right away. He said that won't happen until the beginning of July.
Statewide, Memorial Day, beaches and pools open with 6 feet social distancing. Our goal is by the 4th of July to go to 100% capacity, all beaches, all pools.
New York City Health Commissioner Dr. Dave Choksi yesterday recommending that the Pfizer vaccine is safe for 12 to 15-year-olds. The CDC yesterday and the FDA Monday gave the green light for Pfizer vaccinations for the 12 to 15-year-old age group. Fox is next.
Some till NATO. More rocket blasts shaking Israel and the Gaza Strip. Palestinians have fired hundreds of rockets at Israel. Israel hitting back with airstrikes. The United Nations warns the fighting's building towards a full-scale war. Spokesman Stefan Dujarric.
This spiraling escalation must cease immediately.
At least 72 Palestinians dead, 7 people in Israel killed. The operators of the Colonial Pipeline say they're getting back to shipping fuel after last week's cyber attack. But it's still panic at the pump.
In the southeast, fears of gas shortages is fueling what officials say is unnecessary panic buying. According to Gas Buddy, 69% of North Carolina's gas stations are now out of fuel. 52% of Virginia's gas pumps are empty.
Fox's Brian Yenis. America's listening to Fox News.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Good morning. This is the WABC Early News at 5:31. Quite a bit happening in New Jersey. The best place for all information related to New Jersey, particularly New Jersey politics, is the New Jersey Globe Power Hour, which you could hear Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5. The host of that program is the editor of the New Jersey Globe. He joins us this morning, David Wildstein. David, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Doing great. A lot of folks wondering if this New Jersey governor's race is going to be competitive or not. Phil Murphy thought to have a bit of an advantage as he's a Democrat running for re-election. But a lot of people unhappy with the lockdowns and things like that. How is the governor's race shaping up at this point?
Well, the governor's looking good right now. He's at a 57% approval rating, according to the Monmouth University poll. That's a good, solid number for him to come into.
And New Jersey's former governor, someone who I know you're not necessarily a big fan of, Chris Christie, is talking about running for president again. What are you hearing on that front?
From people who live in New Jersey, a lot of chuckles. Nobody's really excited. It's just hard to see a path for him to get there.
David, I've got a quick question for you about somebody who worked with Governor Christie, Bridget Ann Kelly. She obviously was a central figure in the whole Bridgegate saga back in 2013. And she's, I guess, trying to make her political comeback. She's running for Bergen County Clerk. I mean, does she have any chance? Because that the famous line, I think, you know, time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee will follow her around for the rest of her life. Is that going to, I mean, is that not going to be a problem for her?
Well, first of all, I don't know if it's going to follow her around for the rest of her life, because if you remember the, you know, time for traffic problems in Fort Lee was responded by my saying, got it. And, you know, here I am today. And you know, New Jersey, tough as it is, it's a great second act state. Bridget's running in a tough race. I mean, Bergen County has tilted heavily Democratic, but you never know. And New Jersey's a more forgiving state than you might imagine.
No, it certainly it can be a state of second chances. David, I know this week there were a whole bunch of local municipal elections around the state. Any major surprises or anything our audience needs to be aware of?
I mean, the surprise really was how well the establishment incumbents were received. There were 14 races up and down the state, and only 2 incumbents lost. One, because he got dumped by the rest of the incumbents as a running mate. It was 28 out of 30 incumbents reelected, so 93%.
Wow, 93% in this climate?
Yes.
That is wild. And then I know there's a whole bunch of competitive state legislative elections where even a couple of former congressmen are running for the state legislature. That's pretty unusual, isn't it?
It is. It is. And you know, it's unusual. This is the 10th year of a map that should have been redrawn after the census, but the numbers were late coming in. So everybody's running in their old districts. And Mike Pappas is a former congressman, and he's running against a member of the state assembly in a district that's just churned since the last time he ran. But what I'm hearing is people are saying they're reminded of how good a candidate he was when he first got elected to Congress. So that's going to be one to watch.
Is there anything that you think is going to be surprising, excuse me, anybody to watch, any sort of notable things that you feel might need a little bit more attention?
Well, you know, Jack Cittirelli is one to watch because he's getting this through this primary, you know, getting beaten up a little bit, but he's a talented guy. And I talk about this a lot, that New Jersey, as Democratic as it is, hasn't reelected a Democratic governor in 44 years. So I don't count Republicans out in a race for governor simply because of New Jersey's history of preferring a Democratic governor over a Republican governor over a Democratic governor. So I'm going to be watching Jack Cittirelli. I think he's the presumptive nominee, and I think it's going to be a good race.
Finally, David, what do you have coming up on the New Jersey Globe Power Hour on Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m.?
All right, so we're going to be talking a lot about living life in a bubble where people in politics think something's happening because they're talking to each other and their Twitter followers and their Facebook followers are all saying, yeah, absolutely, and you're right. And they don't see what's happening in the big world because they're just talking to each other.
That is a great topic, actually. I love that.
Thank you.
I'll be listening.
Couldn't be more timely.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
David Wildstein, you can read him regularly in the New Jersey Globe and hear him right here on WABC Saturday afternoons at 4 o'clock. Somebody
thank you, David.
You can hear every 10 minutes on the sevens is Joe Nolan. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, we have a problem now on the Garden State Parkway southbound down by 105, which is the exit for Route 18 in Monmouth Park. Again, construction there till about 6 o'clock this morning. The off-ramp is shut down. Southbound on I-95, the Connecticut Turnpike at 287, there's an accident being cleared. Also, delays inbound Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, one lane out both ways, overnight road work. And also, at the Verrazano Bridge, that lower level was closed in both directions overnight. They're in the beginnings of picking that up. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are suspended. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. Frank, what do we have coming up in business?
Well, a lot of folks concerned about inflation, and okay. We're going to tell you what inflation may mean for you, and a lot of folks also concerned about where cryptocurrency is headed.
And also, a lot of folks are concerned about bringing their pet on international vacations. I'm going to give you some tips, and also in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40. Where can you see Turkish and Greek culture mixed with Ottoman and Venetian history? Lots of sun, ancient landmarks, and hardly any Americans. I will tell you because you can go there now.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
All eyes on Wall Street today after stocks tanked big time yesterday. Inflation quickened at its fastest clip since 2008, according to the numbers that were released yesterday. The consumer price index spiked 4.2%. We have an inflation problem. The numbers led to many traders deciding it was time to cash in. At the close, the Dow Jones dropped 681 points, the S&P 500 lost 89 points, and the NASDAQ fell 357 points. The value of cryptocurrency plunging today after Tesla stopped car purchases using Bitcoin. After Elon Musk's tweet, the cryptocurrency market dropped from about $2.4 trillion to just over $2 trillion, a plunge of over $340 billion. Bitcoin is not issued by a bank, but by miners who use computers that require a lot of energy to make Bitcoin transactions. A report earlier this year found that Bitcoin's energy consumption was larger than some individual countries, and Elon Musk indicated that was a big part of the reason he would no longer be accepting it.
It's time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update, and you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Juliet Huddy TV for more information and pictures and things like that. Starting with a few updates, the country of Cyprus, which is off the coast of Turkey, is open to Americans now. Now, you must be vaccinated. That's the key. No exceptions. I've actually been to Cyprus, by the way, for my brother's wedding back in 2017. It's a very obscure place as far as U.S. tourism is concerned. My mom and I were taking cabs constantly. We heard several times that our drivers had never met an American, which I was kind of like, uh-huh. It seemed a little contrived to me. But the point is, it's not really on the usual European itinerary for U.S. visitors. But that's why you should visit. It's got great beaches. It's a mixture of Turkish and Greek. So you have, of course, great food. It's considered a crossroads between Europe and Asia, and you've got a lot of fascinating history there. It's the legendary birthplace of Aphrodite. There are ancient Greek and Roman ruins. There are castles built by crusaders, city walls built by the once powerful Venetians, Ottoman mosques. It's really something else. It's very different. You can fly from JFK to Larnaca with a stop at Heathrow. It's very easy. All right, moving on. An early news listener named Bridget was wondering if John and I are going to be bringing Winnie, our 10-month-old puppy, with us to Italy in June. Definitely not this time around, but we are thinking about it perhaps for my birthday trip in September. Yes, you can fly internationally with a pet, but it's not for the faint of heart, or let's say for people who are maybe alpha travelers, you know, who get rattled really easily. My advice is, do it, but only if you're not covering a lot of ground. So if we go to, let's say, Italy, that could work. If we want to fly to London, then take the train to Paris, then fly a quick, you know, jaunt over to Venice, it's probably not the best idea to drag Winnie along. That said, each airline does have different rules, so you're going to have to get in touch with them. But first, before you do anything, talk to your vet. Make sure that your puppy is healthy enough to travel. They'll tell you whether your dog breed is safe to travel, because there are certain breeds, like the pug-nosed type breeds, that they sometimes have issues with flying long distances. And they're better left at home. You're also going to have to present certain health documents, and those tests might take some time, so keep that in mind. Also, find out if you have to quarantine them once you arrive. Now, most of the countries you're going to visit probably will not require that, but some will. Some countries do require that your pet be microchipped. You may need a pet passport. There's a lot of paperwork for each country that you're visiting, and you're going to have all of that taken care of and make sure that it's all completely, you know, T's crossed, I's dotted. On top of that, your mode of transport may be an issue. You know, if you're flying, okay, you're going to have that taken care of. But what if you are taking a train? You know, rental cars, do they allow pets? All of that business. You have to get, you know, cover before you do anything. Basically, you just have to do a ton of research before you travel. You might have to make phone calls to your airline, your hotel, your Airbnb, the rail line that you're going to be using. It's a lot. If you're ready for it and you give yourself enough headway, you can have an awesome trip with Fido. I would definitely suggest checking out the website pettravel.com. They are a great resource for everything that you need to know. As far as flying specifically, like I said, each airline is different. Some will allow you to bring your small dog in the cabin with you in a carrier. Others require them to go straight to cargo. There are, I think, only a few slots on each flight that are open for pets, so the early bird gets the worm. If you have a layover, this could be an issue, so try to book a nonstop flight. Some airlines will actually have people that will walk your dog during a layover if they're in cargo. So again, which airline you choose is really key. The size of your dog kennel is important to know, as is what's allowed in that kennel. I was really curious about this whole concept, so I went online yesterday, and there's so much great information out there. You know, best carriers, best kennels, but you have to make sure the info is up to date. So look at the date of the article. And if we do decide to bring Winnie, I will definitely be sure to let you know, and I will take lots of pictures and I will tell you how it went. But it's probably not going to be anytime soon. And that's it for you, Jessica.
Right.
Travel update.
I'm sure Bridget appreciates the clarity on the pet travel issue.
And thank you for asking, Bridget.
Certainly. Bridget, one of our most loyal and devoted listeners. And she thinks a highlight of this hour is Sid Rosenberg's sportscast. Sid,
she's
what's
no
happening
dummy
in the world of sports?
Well, I got to tell you, it's a huge day today.
Oh, you know who Bridget's cousin is? Your friend Billy Santo.
Oh, I love Billy.
Yeah.
Is that true?
That is true.
That's stinky.
I believe so.
Yes, Danny Fogliano's cousin.
Yeah.
Cousin Butchie.
Well, actually,
Aunt Butchie, I should say.
Yeah, so that now I'm out of my element. I don't know.
Right, it's all poly prep stuff. All poly prep stuff. Big day yesterday, Frank and Juliet. For the first time in 7 years, you can say this. The Knicks are on their way to the playoffs. Yes, didn't play last night, the Knickerbockers. They'll take on San Antonio at the Garden tonight. But the Celtics lost to Cleveland last night, and that clinched a playoff spot for the Knicks. Before the start of the season, the over-under for the Knicks' wins was 22. They're already at 38, and they've made the playoffs. Congratulations to the New York Knicks. Now, the Nets, they're going to the playoffs for sure. They blew out San Antonio last night, 128-116. James Harden came back and scored 18 points. The Nets are the 2 seed in the East, just a game and a half behind the 76ers. Baseball yesterday, Matt Harvey made his return to Queens, this time on the other team, pitching for Baltimore, and boy, did he get roughed up. The Mets scored 7 earned runs on Harvey in just over 4 innings of work en route to a 7-1 win, but Matt Harvey still appreciated his return to Queens.
Obviously, there's been so many ups and downs here at this ballpark with this organization that, I didn't really know what to expect, and what they gave me, what the fans gave me out there was pretty incredible.
Mets got their 7th consecutive win. They're now 18-13. First place in the NL East. 1 game better than Philadelphia. Dominic Smith had 3 hits, and Tawan Walker improved to 3-1. Yankees beat the Rays again. Yanks beat them 1-0 yesterday. What a year for Gerrit Cole. He's now 5-1, pitching to a 1.37 ERA, 8 shutout innings. Here was Yankees skipper Aaron Boone on his ace after the win.
Yeah, he's an ace. I mean, he is an absolute bulldog, and I think he lives for, pitching when it's tough and in the biggest of games.
Yankees improved to 20-16. Don't look now. They're just 1 game behind Boston for first place inside the American League East. But again, the big story today, for the first time in 7 years, the Knicks are on their way back to the playoffs. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out today at peerlessboilers.com, PavilionTankless.com. They are America's best-built boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
547, America's best-built traffic reporter, brings us the traffic every 10 minutes on the 7s. Joe Nolan, how's it looking, Joe?
Well, the Connecticut Turnpike southbound coming down to 287. We had a little bit of a glitch up there. There was an accident. It's now gone, so everything is moving pretty well, actually. Route 3, though, eastbound, that road work has been cleared, too, so that's good news. That's out of the way. Brooklyn-bound Verrazano, now just the lower level shut down with the overnight road work. And then also at the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, they're clearing the road work from the overnight that only had 1 lane open. Mass Transit pretty good, and alternate side again today is suspended. The support of service and Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn with your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing, too, because Discover's accepted in 99% of the places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes2021. Nielsen Report limitations apply. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, today is going to be a beautiful day, 70 degrees, lots of sun. Same thing for Friday, except we're getting up to about 74 degrees, maybe 75 degrees with mostly sunny skies. A complete duplicate on Saturday and pretty much Sunday as well. We're going to have the 70s, mid-70s, lots of sun. We may have some thunderstorms later on in the afternoon on Sunday with light winds. Chance of rain right now is about 40%, but it's looking really, really nice for the weekend. So happy about that. 53 degrees right now in New York City.
Several federal officials across the tri-state area are calling on the U.S. Department of Justice to disclose important information to families of 9/11 victims. Congressman Richie Torres and Adriano Espaillat say the previous administration barred families from obtaining documents they believe will show the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia's complicity in the terrorist attacks. 9/11 families have lawsuits pending against the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. In a joint letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland, writing, these families deserve to go to court with all the evidence available to them under a fair application of the law.
Speaking of kingdoms, Italy has a new queen. Yes, I know there is no longer a monarchy in Italy, but there are certainly quite a few pretenders, which is really just a mean way of referring to descendants of an abolished throne who feel that they would be the royal family if there was to be a royal family ever again. Anywho, a couple of years ago, the son of the last king of Italy dissolved the rule of male primogeniture, which means that essentially that made the monarch's eldest son the first to inherit the throne when the monarch dies. So this means since it's been dissolved, that 17-year-old Princess Vittoria of Savoy is the heir to Italy's throne, no matter it's currently non-existent. Even local teenagers in Venice, where Vittoria's dad claims to be the prince, have never heard of her. And adults, especially the old folks, are not keen to the concept of a restored monarchy at all. Italy became a republic after the monarchy's support for Mussolini 75 years ago, and they would prefer that it stay that way.
I know you're a monarchist when it comes to Great Britain. Do you have similar views when it comes to the Italian monarchy?
Yes, I think that there should be monarchies in every country.
Every country. All right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do feel that once that happens, I will be able to find out that I have at some point been related to somebody, and I will be able to walk around with a crown. That's pretty much the only reason.
And maybe
speak with an accent.
Makes sense. A 95-year-old man is also making history after his death. West Virginia's Cecil Lockhart passed away on May 4th, and his liver was used for a woman's life-saving transplant. The Center for Organ Recovery and Education says that makes him the oldest recorded organ donor in U.S. history. His family told CORE he decided to be a donor after his son's death helped dozens through tissue donation. Lockhart was a World War II veteran and a coal miner for more than 50 years.
You know, I wanted to do this story earlier in the week, and I just kept forgetting to do it, but it was so interesting. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan granted posthumous pardons to more than 30 black men and boys over the weekend. They were all victims of lynching between 1854 and 1933. Now, Hogan made this announcement at an event honoring Howard Cooper. He was just 15 years old when he was dragged from the Baltimore County Jail and hanged, despite his criminal case still pending before the U.S. Supreme Court. It's interesting how all of this came about. Apparently, students at the Lock Raven Technical Academy joined forces with the Maryland Lynching Memorial Project, and they brought their plea to the governor, who then had his staff search for all accounts of racist lynching in his state. Now, Hogan, you know, is a term-limited Republican. He also signaled that he may make a run for the top job in 2024. We'll see about that. But he says that he hopes the pardons will bring a measure of peace to the families of the victims. Officials estimate roughly 4,000 black men and women and kids were lynched here in the 19th and 20th centuries.
Ohio is giving 5 adult residents the chance to win $1 million, and all they have to do is get the coronavirus vaccine. Governor Mike DeWine took to Twitter to announce that starting May 26th, every Wednesday, they will randomly select a winner. The winner needs to have had at least one dose of the vaccine at the time their name is selected. The Republican governor says the real waste at this point of the pandemic is not the money, but rather another life lost to the coronavirus. The prize money will come from existing federal coronavirus relief funds.
How much money?
So you'll win.
Do they win?
$1 million.
Oh, my Lord.
So basically, you get the shot, you're entered into a lottery, and 5 people will get a chance to win $1 million.
Whoa. That's pretty cool, I have to say. I mean, not for those who have already been vaccinated.
Well, like, I guess your name, if you lived in Ohio, would be entered into the lottery. I mean, I think it's everybody that's been...
Oh, I thought it was just you have to go now and enter your name in the lottery.
I think everybody that has gotten a shot is entered into the lottery. I mean, the question
cool.
Some people would have is giving away $5 million really the best use of federal coronavirus relief funds?
I see that point, but I also feel like this is bringing a lot of people in to get that vaccine. But I don't know. We'll see. Buckingham Palace is demanding the removal of an image showing the Queen wearing a MAGA hat and QAnon brooch from the side of a Trump bus. It is a luxury tour bus owned by, obviously, a Trump supporter. And it's, you know, it's kind of served as the unofficial campaign tour bus. It shows up at different rallies and so forth. The doctored picture of the Queen has been on the bus for more than a year, but it wasn't really noticed until last week. And apparently whoever noticed it ended up letting Buckingham Palace find out about it. I guess it appeared at a Republican event with Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene in Florida recently, and that's when somebody might have noticed it and called the Buckingham Palace officials. So it is being taken off.
The New York Yankees are now dealing with 7 so-called breakthrough coronavirus cases. Three coaches and four support staff members have been confirmed as positive, and the breakthrough term refers to the fact that all seven of these people were previously vaccinated. Only one of the seven has symptoms. Meanwhile, shortstop Gleyber Torres is being held out of tonight's game in Tampa Bay due to an abundance of caution, and his test results are pending.
The CEOs of some of the country's biggest airlines have joined their UK counterparts in sending a message to President Biden and Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Actually, it's more of a pleading, really. Open a US-UK travel corridor now, please. The bosses of Delta, JetBlue, American, Virgin, and British Airways say that our economies are not the only ones getting destroyed by the medieval travel restrictions. Families have been torn apart. You know, people haven't been able to see their family members in, you know, a year or maybe more than a year, a couple of years, actually. With successful vaccination programs in both the U.S. and U.K., officials in the travel industry and others say it is time to end the nightmare and get a corridor up and running again.
New York City is suing Chipotle. Mayor Bill de Blasio joined with members of Union 32BJ yesterday, claiming the fast food restaurant is shamelessly breaking the law and getting rich by taking pay away from employees. De Blasio says Chipotle's stock soared 66% last year, and the CEO took home $38 million. He says cheating New Yorkers out of their hard-earned money is not going to fly in New York City, and he ended his message with, quote, "See you in court."
Let's see Joe Nolan not in court, but on his travel traffic report.
Well, we've got problems. We got problems on the Southern State now. Westbound at Wantagh Avenue, there's a stalled vehicle, so that's slowing everybody down. If you're at Queensbound Throgs Neck Bridge, there's a new construction pattern up there, and as a result of that, it really has been causing some pretty significant delays. So as you come southbound Queensbound Throgs Neck Bridge, new construction pattern being set up. Garden State Parkway, that off ramp at 105 is still shut down. Transit Authority, now the Uptown F trains have delays, that because of signal problems at Times Square, and alternate side again today is suspended. The support of service of Audible. Give spring a whole new sound with Audible Plus. Listen all you want to thousands of select Audible originals, audiobooks, and podcasts, including an exclusive series. Start 30-day free trial today when you sign up at audible.com. That's Traffic on the Sevens. I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe, from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. The weather report has actually just been updated. Today we're going to see beautiful weather, sunshine, few afternoon clouds, a high of 71. Friday, 74 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Saturday, 75, mostly sunny skies. And Sunday, we should see a beautiful day, 73, with maybe some evening thunderstorms. And it looks like Monday is also looking pretty nice. I was seeing showers, but it looks like showers for Monday. So all in all, the next few days are just going to be lovely. Currently, it's 53 in New York City.
And coming up in the next half hour, we will not only have sports with Sid Rosenberg, but he'll also give you a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid Show. Deb Valentine has all the local news, and we'll continue with traffic and transit on the Sevens with Joe Nolan. But there are a number of former members or retired members of the military that are unhappy with President Biden. They also made some pretty interesting claims about the recent election. And if you're a child, I'll tell you what vaccine you can get starting today. And there are a number of interesting things happening within the New York City mayoral race, including several mayoral candidates who don't want the city of New York to do away with Columbus Day. All that and a whole lot more.
Okay. And also, we're going to be talking about a new book that is set to come out. It's painting a concerning picture about the Trump family and their Secret Service protectors. And also in entertainment news, we'll talk about the blossoming love affair between Ben Affleck and J-Lo. The Bennifer thing is back, apparently. And if you've become paranoid that somebody in your neighborhood thinks you're dirty, you can relax. I'll explain all of that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Again, Sid is going to be joining us to tell us what's coming up on Bernie and Sid. And I will give you an update on the weather forecast. I just noticed it. They updated it again, and it's in our benefit, which is wonderful.
It's, you know, everybody's rooting against Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. I hope they make it. I hope this time around it works out for them.
Well, that's
really
sweet of you, Frank.
Yeah.
I would expect nothing less. We'll see. We'll be right back.
Hopeless romantic. Emphasis on the hopeless. The Fox News National News is next.
Talk Radio for New York and all of America. 1071 WLIR-FM, Hampton Bays, and WABC.
The gas is flowing again. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, but it's not reached all the stations that have run out across the southeast as Colonial Pipeline restores operations shut down after a cyber attack last week. But lines have been long and tempers flaring like in North Carolina.
A man and woman throwing punches at the pump. Both were arrested for fighting over fuel. This as more gas stations close. 69% in North Carolina, 52% in Virginia, 48% in South Carolina, and 46% in Georgia, all under states of emergency.
Fox's Griff Jenkins. President Biden issued an executive order to bolster cybersecurity. Later today, he'll meet with six Republican senators on infrastructure after a bipartisan get-together with lawmakers yesterday. Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell drawing a red line.
We're not interested in reopening the 2017 tax bill.
Some kids across America will be rolling up their sleeves starting today.
A vaccine for kids between the ages of 12 and 15 are safe, effective, easy, fast, and free.
President Biden urging parents to get their kids the shots after the FDA and CDC approved Pfizer's COVID vaccine for those 12 to 15. It's another day of warring between Israelis and Palestinians. Fox's Simon Owen has an update live.
Dave, President Biden has appealed for calm, but Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel will keep striking Palestinian military targets. Militant group Hamas describes the confrontation as open-ended.
Entertaining and informative, it's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. This is the WABC Early News. The good news is the weekend is almost here. I'm Frank Moreno.
Hello, I'm Juliet Huddy. We've got a lot to get to. A book about the Trump family and the Secret Service protectors that were watching over them. Also, the blossoming love affair between Ben Affleck and J-Lo we'll be talking about. And I've got another royal alert, Frank.
Oh, I love those royal alerts.
I know you do.
I do. All right, 6:07, we've got a gridlock alert for you, and the man who's going to guide us through that gridlock is the one and only Joe Nolan, who is counting down the days to Joe Nolan's first day of summer on May 28th.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Well, I'm ready.
I know, a lot of work I've got to do to make that happen, but it's going to... If you're traveling westbound Southern State, Wantagh Avenue, there's a stall there. It's in the process of being cleared up and out of the way. Inbound on the Grand Central, we're all jammed up. 168 to Kew Gardens with construction. Two lanes are out. Queensbound Thrags Neck Bridge, a new construction pattern. That's slowing everybody down. Also, the Transit Authority, Uptown F Trains, delays from signal problems at Times Square. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations, once again today, are going to be suspended. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7, Stock Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joe. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, it's going to be a beautiful day again today, 71 degrees with lots of sun. Tomorrow, we're looking at mostly sunny skies, 74 degrees. We're really getting up there. 75 degrees on Saturday with lots of sun again. And on Sunday, we should have some nice weather, albeit there might be a bit of a thunderstorm or so in the afternoon. But I'm guessing that's probably just dependent on where you live, and it might not last too long. Monday's also looking pretty good. All in all, lots of stuff to look forward to weather-wise. It's 53 right now in New York City.
More than 120 retired generals and admirals have published an open letter questioning the legitimacy of the 2020 presidential election, as well as President Biden's fitness to be commander-in-chief. The letter, which was first reported by Politico, bears the heading of a group calling itself Flag Officers for America and claims the United States is, quote, in deep peril and Americans are in a fight for our survival as a constitutional republic like no other time since our founding in 1776. Among the letter's 126 signatories are retired Rear Admiral John Poindexter, who spent a year as National Security Advisor under President Reagan and was convicted of lying to Congress during the Iran-Contra investigation.
Retired Admiral Mike Mullen was the former chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He says that this letter is replete with right-wing Republican talking points. So another takeaway, 93 of the signatories signed a letter in 2020 backing Trump for re-election. So this is obviously a very Trump-supportive group that wrote this letter. Meantime, let's get to some other news. I love this story. It is if you've become paranoid that somebody in your neighborhood thinks you're dirty, you can relax. Folks around the country have started reporting finding dryer sheets in their homes' mailboxes. And it turns out it's likely not a nosy neighbor, but rather a mindful mail carrier. Mm. Apparently, dryer sheets ward off wasps and yellow jackets. I didn't know that. Apparently, they're scent. And those things sometimes build nests in mailboxes. So these postal carriers are just, you know, trying to keep themselves from being stung.
Well, we're keeping an eye on this police officer that was shot in Brooklyn last night. Police are investigating after this police officer was shot at least three times. Commissioner Dermot Shea says the officers responded to reports of gunshots around 11 p.m. in Bed-Stuy, and they found two other men had been shot, with one fatally wounded and the other stable. The preliminary investigation indicates these officers spotted a person of interest walking on the street when they went to approach the suspect. He then opened fire. The 26-year-old suspect, a known gang member to the NYPD, was shot and injured before being taken into custody.
Frank, you know, the Secret Service, within the last decade or so, has been under fire quite a few times.
Sure.
for various things. There's a new book that's coming out, and it is set to paint a concerning picture about the Trump family and their Secret Service protectors. It's called Zero Fail, The Rise and Fall of the Secret Service, and it's by Pulitzer Prize-winning author Carol Leonick. She suggests that the president's eldest son's now ex-wife was dating one of the agents assigned to protect the family. Vanessa Trump is who we're talking about. She and Don Jr. married back in 2005. She filed for divorce in 2018. The book also suggests that Trump's youngest daughter, Tiffany, engaged in a close relationship with an agent. Secret Service men and women obviously are not supposed to be dating the people that they protect. So this is something that is a concern, obviously. And it's not just for the Trump family. I mean, any family that is in the White House is going to have to deal with this type of thing, I have a feeling.
Right. And then locally, you saw a similar situation with Governor Cuomo's daughter and the state trooper,
right. Yeah.
That was assigned to look after them.
But, you know, they worry that emotions will get in the way.
Sure. No, it's a sound policy to prohibit that, I would think.
Probably. But I mean, it's also you can't help who you fall for, you know. So it's a struggle at times, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Children ages 12 through 15 can get the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine starting today. On Wednesday, a CDC advisory committee cleared the vaccine for kids in that age group. Also, the CDC now recommends adolescents get other routine vaccinations along with the COVID shot. 12 to 15-year-olds in Georgia have already started getting the Pfizer vaccine. In Georgia.
Georgia. Do you always say Georgia like that?
More or less. I think so, yes.
I love it. I have to do more Georgia stories. We have a royal alert to tell you about. A royal alert.
Unless Prince Harry, the country of Georgia, then it's more of an Eastern European.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, Georgia. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have just inked another partnership. This time, it's with a company that the Duchess of Sussex knows all too well.
So I was wondering if you would be able to change your commercial to people all over America.
That was 11-year-old Meghan reading a letter that she wrote to executives at Procter & Gamble, asking them to stop making it seem like women were the only ones doing housework. Now, this was back in 1993. We've heard about this story before. And it was the first time that she was ever on TV. It was also the first time she, I guess you could say it was her first public foray into feminism. Well, nearly 30 years later, she and her husband are working side by side with some of those same execs. Insiders say that they're going to focus on gender equality messaging, more inclusive online spaces, and resilience and impact through sports. Isn't that lovely?
That is nice.
Yes, I love
this
music.
It's my kind of royal alert. It is.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it.
Yes. Well, an American Idol finalist is no longer on the show, and not because he was voted off. Caleb Kennedy dropped out after a KKK-themed video emerged. It shows him standing next to someone wearing a Klansman-like hood. The country singer apologized on Instagram, telling fans his actions weren't meant to be taken in that way. He says it's not an excuse, and he promised to take time to work on himself.
Well, in other entertainment news, the apparently re-blossoming of the once red-hot love affair between Ben Affleck and J-Lo apparently started up months ago. Lopez and Affleck broke off their engagement in mid-2000s after a headline-splashing years-long affair. But multiple outlets are now reporting that the two have been talking since February, right around the time that news broke, alleging her at-the-time fiancé A-Rod had been two-timing her with a reality star from the Bravo show Southern Charm, which Sid is a fan of, as am I.
Huge. Love that guy, Shep.
Shep is the best.
He the man.
He's
must be so cool to be like 40-something years old and just get drunk and wake up late every day.
Yeah, he's a little trust fund baby.
They all are. They're all losers. Him, Craig, all of them. Losers.
Craig is actually making some money now on his pillow thing.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's making good money on it.
It's a great life. You get to live in a city like Charleston and get drunk every night and every day and wake up and have money.
And be on TV and have women right. and guys throwing themselves at you.
Right.
Not a bad way to live. Sid Rosenberg, what's happening in the world of sports?
Well, let's start with the Knicks. That is the big story today, New York. For the first time in 7 years, you can say it. You can say it. The New York Knicks are in the playoffs. Unbelievable. As I stated earlier, the Knicks were supposed to win about 22 games this year. That was the over-under in Vegas. That would not be a playoff team. Well, they've already won 38. Right now, they're a half game behind Atlanta for the four seed. It's official. The Celtics lost to Cleveland last night. The Knicks are back in the playoffs. The Nets, they're going to the playoffs too, obviously. They're one of the best teams in the NBA. They clobbered the Spurs last night, 128-116. James Harden, 18 points in his return. Nets put eight players in double figures. They're the two seed in the East right now, a game and a half behind the 76ers. The Mets and Yankees are both playing great baseball, too. How about this? The Mets win again. They've won seven straight, beat the Orioles 7-1. Not very nice to Matt Harvey in his return to Queens. Mets scored seven earned runs off Harvey in just over four innings of work. On the other side, Tawan Walker for the Mets. He's been a great story. He wins again. Seven strong innings. He's 3-1 on the season. Pitching in the low twos is ERA. Here was Walker after yesterday's Met win.
Running to walls and diving for balls for us, it was huge. And, you know, I'd like to pitch contact. And when we got – the offense did a good job getting runs early, and we just kept putting it on. So it was easy for me to go out there and just try to get quick outs.
Three hits for Dominic Smith. The Mets are now 18-13, a game up on the Philadelphia Phillies. Yankees couldn't beat Tampa. Now Tampa can't beat the Yankees. Gerrit Cole. If Jacob deGrom is not the best pitcher in baseball, then Gerrit Cole is. Yesterday, eight shutout innings. He's now 5-1 on the season, pitching to a 1.37 ERA. Aaron Judge, three hits. The Yankees blank the Rays 1-0. And again, Gerrit Cole improves to 5-1. Yanks are now 20-16, one back of Boston. This, despite the COVID breakout, which had nine Yankee coaches out and Gleyber Torres out as well. Didn't matter. By the way, the Yankees will play the Rays again today, then the Orioles. The Mets are off today. They're in Tampa Bay for the Rays tomorrow. But again, the big story today, for the first time in 7 years, based on the Celtics' loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers last night, the Knickerbockers are back in the playoffs. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at PavilionTankless.com, PeerlessBoilers.com. They do build America's best boilers. It's sports at 15 and 45. I'm Sid.
The big story for some of us, or some of you, is how we are getting to work or to home this morning. Joe Nolan, who is counting down the days to that May 28th event. Who are you benefiting on May 28th again?
It's our family's foundation. We have a little foundation called the Maureen E. Nolan Foundation, named after my mom. She was a Catholic school teacher. She died when I was like 22 years old and from cancer. And what we do is we raise money and we give away scholarships to Catholic high school seniors going on to college.
Well, and if people want to support that, where can they go to do that?
They can go to mnolanfoundation.org and they can support that if they wish. It would be great if you did. I mean, this is a fundraiser and no one's making any money on it. And you know, there are some costs involved in it, too. This thing.
Yeah. You're gonna do an appearance for you, for instance.
Oh, I know you do. And that, you know, make sure you talk to the accountant before you leave on that day.
Listen, I'm happy to make an appearance fee via Skype if you need me to for my
Like I said, Juliet, the only reason I didn't even mention it to you is because I never thought you'd come from Long Island to Lavalette, New Jersey.
Oh, I totally would. Well, I have friends down in Red Bank. I could always stay with them. But, yeah, I'll be down in Miami. Unfortunately, I'm thrilled to go down to Miami, but I'm sad really. I'm going to be missing it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a fun day. Going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, how's the traffic looking?
Well, Southern State westbound, Wanta Avenue is stalled. Thank you, Frank, for letting me do that. Grand Central Parkway, as you come inbound, 168 to Q. Construction, again, two lanes are out. On the Queensbound side of the Throgs Neck Bridge, there's a new construction pattern there. That pretty much out of the way. They've just updated this Grand Central now, too. Apparently, the construction has been removed, so all lanes reopen coming into Q, but still a little bit of a brake check. Uptown F trains, delays, signal problems at Times Square, and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are suspended. This support of service is Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn with your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
So I asked Frank what he's doing for business, and it's just very clear. The deficit. So the deficit is what he's going to be talking about momentarily. But first, let me give you some weather from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. 71 degrees today. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. Light winds. 74 degrees for Friday. So you're definitely going to have to make plans outside. Going to be a lovely afternoon. 75 on Saturday. Also beautiful. Mostly sunny skies. Sunday, 73. We should have some potential for afternoon showers or thunderstorms. And to the work week, it's also looking pretty nice. Right now in New York City, it's 53, 44 in Huntington.
Rough day for the stock market yesterday. All three major indexes down big. And apparently it's not looking any better today. Wall Street futures are down after the Dow's worst day in 4 months. Dow futures as of this moment are down 216 points. That's more than 0.6%. S&P futures are down nearly 0.4%. NASDAQ futures are off 42 points. That's 0.3%. Yesterday, the Dow fell 681 points in a week that's turning into a real bust for the blue chip index. This was the worst day since January, and Tuesday was its worst since February. Now, some of the other things we're keeping an eye on is the deficit. The U.S. Treasury says the federal budget deficit has already increased by nearly $2 trillion this fiscal year. This is mostly due to Congress passing a massive coronavirus relief bill, which included $1,400 stimulus checks for millions of Americans. Economists say this year's budget deficit is expected to exceed last year's record at roughly $3.4 trillion. This means the national debt could grow to more than $37 trillion over the next decade, which is a dramatic increase from the $28 trillion where we currently are, Juliet.
My. Let's get Sid Rosenberg, a.k.a. just Sid now. I mean, he's thrown away the Hollywood moniker, so now he's just Sid.
No. The Hollywood moniker still works.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Depends where I am. I get to use two now because of you, so
yes,
thank you for that.
I know. I mean, really, when is my check going to arrive? That is the question.
It's coming.
What's happening on your show today?
Well, I did something for today that's so embarrassing, but it's so me. It's perfect. It's me. So we have three guests today. Bill O'Reilly is on every Thursday. He's going to be great. His book, Killing the Mob, is doing very, very, very well. And he'll be on to talk about that. And then you guys both mentioned, Frank and Juliet, that in Georgia, the little kids are getting vaccinated. My son Gabriel is set to be a bar mitzvah boy in November. He'll turn 13.
Aww.
And we're going to go to Israel, assuming it's still there. Dov Hyken is on his way there today, by the way.
Wow.
And so Dr. Nicole Sapphire, my friend, is going to come on and tell me whether I should or should not vaccinate Gabe. I'm not going to, unless she really convinces me. So we'll talk to the
lovely. That's a lot of pressure for an appearance.
A lot of pressure.
Okay.
That's what I told her. I said, your job is to come on today and explain to me why or why not Gabe should or should not get vaccinated. So she's a good sport, Nicole, and lovely at that. So she'll be on today. So yesterday I go to this big event in Columbus Circle, and every important Italian-American is there outside of you, Frank, and you, Juliet. Arthur Idala, Joe Piscopo was great. Curtis was there, Fernando Mateo was there, Letitia Romero, all these folks. But the first person I see is Joe Borelli, who's a wonderful guy, councilman Staten Island. I know he's your best.
Israeli airstrikes are continuing for a fourth day, as are Palestinian rocket barrages in the other direction. The violence has reached further into Israel than at any time since 2000. Children have been reported killed on both sides. Dave?
Since Monday, Simon, Palestinians report more than 80 people have been killed. 7 Israelis are dead. America's listening to Fox News.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-885-9797. 800-885-9797. 800-885-9797.
From the RSCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzamanian will put you to work, I'm Deborah Valentine. A 28-year-old NYPD officer from a family of cops shot three times. This went down in the Bed-Stuy section of Brooklyn late last night. This officer reported to be in stable condition at Kings County Hospital. The series of events all started involving three gang members, with a man running up to a white SUV and opening fire. The SUV crashed a short time later. One occupant died, one is in stable condition, and the third person not hurt. NYPD Police Commissioner Dermot Shea says officers then spotted a man running and blading his body at nearby Saratoga Park.
Immediately, the male pulls a firearm, turns on the officers, and begins to shoot.
The officer was struck in his bulletproof vest, his leg, and his buttocks.
One of the officers fires nine rounds. The officer that fires nine rounds, and we are not identifying him at this time as we complete notifications, is struck, we believe, three times. Once in the vest, which, thank God, stops the round.
New York City Mayor de Blasio, Kings County.
Thank God our officer will make a full recovery, and I want to thank everyone at Kings County Hospital.
PBA President Pat Lynch.
It proves that nonsense narrative that the police are the problem. It puts that to bed. We are the solution.
And Lynch calling for changes to bail reform laws. Charges also pending against this 26-year-old suspect shot in his leg. He is in stable condition at Brookdale University Hospital. The alleged Times Square shooter captured down in Florida, Farrakhan Muhammad, is suspected of shooting three people Saturday in Times Square. He will be returned to New York to face charges, all three victims recovering. Four incidents of violence in the New York City subway system yesterday.
An MTA supervisor at Times Square Station, a woman, was punched by a guy who fled. 90 minutes later, same station, a man was slashed in the face and is hospitalized. A woman in Queens riding an F train was struck with a skateboard at 8:30 a.m., that suspect in custody. And at 10:45, another woman was stabbed in a robbery attempt at the Pennsylvania Avenue station in Brooklyn. Her attacker still at large. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler for 77 WABC News.
From the IRCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzamanian will put you to work, I'm Deborah Valentine on 77 WABC.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. This is the WABC Early News. The good news is the weekend is almost here. I'm Frank Moreno.
Hello, I'm Juliet Huddy. We've got a lot to get to. A book about the Trump family and the Secret Service protectors that were watching over them. Also, the blossoming love affair between Ben Affleck and J-Lo we'll be talking about. And I've got another royal alert, Frank.
Oh, I love those royal alerts.
I know you do.
I do. All right, 6:07, we've got a gridlock alert for you, and the man who's going to guide us through that gridlock is the one and only Joe Nolan, who is counting down the days to Joe Nolan's first day of summer on May 28th.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Well, I'm ready.
I know, a lot of work I've got to do to make that happen, but it's going to... If you're traveling westbound Southern State, Wantigh Avenue, there's a stall there. It's in the process of being cleared up and out of the way. Inbound on the Grand Central, we're all jammed up. 168 to Kew Gardens with construction. Two lanes are out. Queensbound Thrags Neck Bridge, a new construction pattern. That's slowing everybody down. Also, the Transit Authority, Uptown F Trains, delays from signal problems at Times Square. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations, once again today, are going to be suspended. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7, Stock Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joe, from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. It's going to be a beautiful day again today, 71 degrees with lots of sun. Tomorrow, we're looking at mostly sunny skies, 74 degrees. We're really getting up there. 75 degrees on Saturday with lots of sun again. And on Sunday, we should have some nice weather, albeit there might be a bit of a thunderstorm or so in the afternoon. But I'm guessing that's probably just dependent on where you live, and it might not last too long. Monday's also looking pretty good. All in all, lots of stuff to look forward to weather-wise. It's 53 right now in New York City.
More than 120 retired generals and admirals have published an open letter questioning the legitimacy of the 2020 presidential election, as well as President Biden's fitness to be commander-in-chief. The letter, which was first reported by Politico, bears the heading of a group calling itself Flag Officers for America and claims the United States is, quote, in deep peril and Americans are in a fight for our survival as a constitutional republic like no other time since our founding in 1776. Among the letter's 126 signatories are retired Rear Admiral John Poindexter, who spent a year as National Security Advisor under President Reagan and was convicted of lying to Congress during the Iran-Contra investigation.
Retired Admiral Mike Mullen was the former chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He says that this letter is replete with right-wing Republican talking points. So another takeaway, 93 of the signatories signed a letter in 2020 backing Trump for reelection. So this is obviously a very Trump-supportive group that wrote this letter. Meantime, let's get to some other news. I love this story. It is if you've become paranoid that somebody in your neighborhood thinks you're dirty, you can relax. Folks around the country have started reporting finding dryer sheets in their homes' mailboxes. And it turns out it's likely not a nosy neighbor, but rather a mindful mail carrier. Mm. Apparently, dryer sheets ward off wasps and yellow jackets. I didn't know that. Apparently, they're scent. And those things sometimes build nests in mailboxes. So these postal carriers are just, you know, trying to keep themselves from being stung.
Well, we're keeping an eye on this police officer that was shot in Brooklyn last night. Police are investigating after this police officer was shot at least three times. Commissioner Dermot Shea says the officers responded to reports of gunshots around 11 p.m. in Bed-Stuy, and they found two other men had been shot, with one fatally wounded and the other stable. The preliminary investigation indicates these officers spotted a person of interest walking on the street when they went to approach the suspect. He then opened fire. The 26-year-old suspect, a known gang member to the NYPD, was shot and injured before being taken into custody.
Frank, you know, the Secret Service, within the last decade or so, has been under fire quite a few times.
Sure.
for various things. There's a new book that's coming out, and it is set to paint a concerning picture about the Trump family and their Secret Service protectors. It's called Zero Fail, The Rise and Fall of the Secret Service, and it's by Pulitzer Prize-winning author Carol Leonick. She suggests that the president's eldest son's now ex-wife was dating one of the agents assigned to protect the family. Vanessa Trump is who we're talking about. She and Don Jr. married back in 2005. She filed for divorce in 2018. The book also suggests that Trump's youngest daughter, Tiffany, engaged in a close relationship with an agent. Secret Service men and women obviously are not supposed to be dating the people that they protect. So this is something that is a concern, obviously. And it's not just for the Trump family. I mean, any family that is in the White House is going to have to deal with this type of thing, I have a feeling.
Right. And then locally, you saw a similar situation with Governor Cuomo's daughter and the state trooper,
right. Yeah.
That was assigned to look after them.
But, you know, they worry that emotions will get in the way.
Sure. No, it's a sound policy to prohibit that, I would think.
Probably. But I mean, you know, it's also you can't help who you fall for, you know. So it's a struggle at times, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Children ages 12 through 15 can get the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine starting today. On Wednesday, a CDC advisory committee cleared the vaccine for kids in that age group. Also, the CDC now recommends adolescents get other routine vaccinations along with the COVID shot. 12 to 15-year-olds in Georgia have already started getting the Pfizer vaccine. In Georgia.
Do you always say Georgia like that?
More or less. I think so, yes.
I love it. I have to do more Georgia stories. We have a royal alert to tell you about. A royal alert.
Unless
Prince Harry.
It's the country of Georgia, then it's more of an Eastern European.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, Georgia. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have just inked another partnership. This time, it's with a company that the Duchess of Sussex knows, Christian, knows all too well.
So I was wondering if you would be able to change your commercial to people all over America.
That was 11-year-old Megan reading a letter that she wrote to executives at Procter & Gamble, asking them to stop making it seem like women were the only ones doing housework. Now, this was back in 1993. We've heard about this story before. And it was the first time that she was ever on TV. It was also the first time she, I guess you could say it was her first public foray into feminism. Well, nearly 30 years later, she and her husband are working side by side with some of those same execs. Insiders say that they're going to focus on gender equality messaging, more inclusive online spaces, and resilience and impact through sports. Isn't that lovely?
That is nice.
Yes, I love
it's
this music.
It's my kind of royal alert. It is.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it.
Yes. Well, an American Idol finalist is no longer on the show, and not because he was voted off. Caleb Kennedy dropped out after a KKK-themed video emerged. It shows him standing next to someone wearing a Klansman-like hood. The country singer apologized on Instagram, telling fans his actions weren't meant to be taken in that way. He says it's not an excuse, and he promised to take time to work on himself.
Well, in other entertainment news, the apparently re-blossoming of the once red-hot love affair between Ben Affleck and J-Lo apparently started up months ago. Lopez and Affleck broke off their engagement in mid-2000s after a headline-splashing years-long affair. But multiple outlets are now reporting that the two have been talking since February, right around the time that news broke, alleging her at-the-time fiancé A-Rod had been two-timing her with a reality star from the Bravo show Southern Charm, which Sid is a fan of, as am I.
Huge. Love that guy, Shep.
Shep is the best.
He the man.
Yeah, he's
must
hilarious.
Be so cool to be like 40-something years old and just get drunk and wake up late every day.
Yeah, he's a little. What is he? Trust fund baby.
They all are. They're all losers. Him, Craig, all of them. Losers.
Craig is actually making some money now on his pillow thing.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's making good money on it.
It's a great life. You get to live in a city like Charleston and get drunk every night and every day and wake up and have money.
And be on TV and have women right. and guys throwing themselves at you.
Right.
Not a bad way to live. Sid Rosenberg, what's happening in the world of sports?
Well, let's start with the Knicks. That is the big story today, New York. For the first time in 7 years, you can say it. You can say it. The New York Knicks are in the playoffs. Unbelievable. As I stated earlier, the Knicks were supposed to win about 22 games this year. That was the over-under in Vegas. That would not be a playoff team. Well, they've already won 38. Right now, they're a half game behind Atlanta for the four seed. It's official. The Celtics lost to Cleveland last night. The Knicks are back in the playoffs. The Nets, they're going to the playoffs too, obviously. They're one of the best teams in the NBA. They clobbered the Spurs last night, 128-116. James Harden, 18 points in his return. Nets put eight players in double figures. They're the two seed in the East right now, a game and a half behind the 76ers. The Mets and Yankees are both playing great baseball, too. How about this? The Mets win again. They've won seven straight, beat the Orioles 7-1. Not very nice to Matt Harvey in his return to Queens. Mets scored seven earned runs off Harvey in just over four innings of work. On the other side, Tawan Walker for the Mets. He's been a great story. He wins again. Seven strong innings. He's 3-1 on the season. Pitching in the low twos is ERA. Here was Walker after yesterday's Met win.
Running to walls and diving for balls for us, it was huge. And, you know, I'd like to pitch contact, and when we got – the offense did a good job getting runs early, and we just kept putting it on. So it was easy for me to go out there and just try to get quick outs.
Three hits for Dominic Smith. The Mets are now 18-13, a game up on the Philadelphia Phillies. Yankees couldn't beat Tampa. Now Tampa can't beat the Yankees. Gerrit Cole. If Jacob deGrom is not the best pitcher in baseball, then Gerrit Cole is. Yesterday, eight shutout innings. He's now 5-1 on the season, pitching to a 1.37 ERA. Aaron Judge, three hits. The Yankees blank the Rays 1-0. And again, Gerrit Cole improves to 5-1. Yanks are now 20-16, one back of Boston. This, despite the COVID breakout, which had nine Yankee coaches out and Gleyber Torres out as well. Didn't matter. By the way, the Yankees will play the Rays again today, then the Orioles. The Mets are off today. They're in Tampa Bay for the Rays tomorrow. But again, the big story today, for the first time in 7 years, based on the Celtics' loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers last night, the Knickerbockers are back in the playoffs. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at PavilionTankless.com, PeerlessBorders.com. They do build America's best borders. It's sports at 15 and 45. I'm Sid.
The big story for some of us, or some of you, is how we are getting to work or to home this morning. Joe Nolan, who is counting down the days to that May 28th event. Who are you benefiting on May 28th again?
It's our family's foundation. We have a little foundation called the Maureen E. Nolan Foundation, named after my mom. She was a Catholic school teacher. She died when I was like 22 years old and from cancer. And what we do is we raise money and we give away scholarships to Catholic high school seniors going on to college.
Well, and if people want to support that, where can they go to do that?
They can go to mnolanfoundation.org, and they can support that if they wish. It would be great if you did. I mean, this is a fundraiser, and no one's making any money on it. And you know, there are some costs involved in it, too, this thing.
Yeah.
You're gonna do.
No,
this
I have an appearance for you, for instance.
Oh, I know you do. And that, you know, make sure you talk to the accountant before you leave on that day.
Listen, I'm happy to make an appearance fee via Skype if you need me to for my
Like I said, Juliet, the only reason I didn't even mention it to you is because I never thought you'd come from Long Island to Lavalette, New Jersey.
Oh, I totally would. Well, I have friends down in Red Bank. I could always stay with them. But, I'll be down in Miami. Unfortunately, well, not unfortunately. I'm thrilled to go down to Miami, but I'm sad, really. I'm going to be missing it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a fun day. Going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, how's the traffic looking?
Well, Southern State westbound, Wanta Avenue is stalling. Thank you, Frank, for letting me do that. Grand Central Parkway, as you come inbound, 168 to Q. Construction, again, two lanes are out. On the Queensbound side of the Throgs Neck Bridge, there's a new construction pattern there. That pretty much out of the way. They just updated this Grand Central now, too. Apparently, the construction has been removed, so all lanes reopen coming into Q, but still a little bit of a brake check. Uptown F trains, delays, signal problems at Times Square, and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are suspended. This support of services Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn with your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
So I asked Frank what he's doing for business, and it's just very clear. The deficit. So the deficit is what he's going to be talking about momentarily. But first, let me give you some weather from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. 71 degrees today. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. Light winds. 74 degrees for Friday. So you're definitely going to have to make plans outside. Going to be a lovely afternoon. 75 on Saturday. Also beautiful. Mostly sunny skies. Sunday, 73. We should have some potential for afternoon showers or thunderstorms. And to the work week, it's also looking pretty nice. Right now in New York City, it's 53, 44 in Huntington.
Rough day for the stock market yesterday. All three major indexes down big. And apparently it's not looking any better today. Wall Street futures are down after the Dow's worst day in 4 months. Dow futures as of this moment are down 216 points. That's more than 0.6%. S&P futures are down nearly 0.4%. NASDAQ futures are off 42 points. That's 0.3%. Yesterday, the Dow fell 681 points in a week that's turning into a real bust for the blue chip index. This was the worst day since January, and Tuesday was its worst since February. Now, some of the other things we're keeping an eye on is the deficit. The U.S. Treasury says the federal budget deficit has already increased by nearly $2 trillion this fiscal year. This is mostly due to Congress passing a massive coronavirus relief bill, which included $1,400 stimulus checks for millions of Americans. Economists say this year's budget deficit is expected to exceed last year's record at roughly $3.4 trillion. This means the national debt could grow to more than $37 trillion over the next decade, which is a dramatic increase from the $28 trillion where we currently are, Juliet.
My. Let's get Sid Rosenberg, a.k.a. just Sid now. I mean, he's thrown away the Hollywood moniker, so now he's just Sid.
No. The Hollywood moniker still works.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Depends where I am. I get to use two now because of you, so
yes,
thank you for that.
I know. I mean, really, when is my check going to arrive? That is the question.
It's coming.
What's happening on your show today?
Well, I did something for today that's so embarrassing, but it's so me. It's perfect. It's me. So we have three guests today. Bill O'Reilly is on every Thursday. He's going to be great. His book, Killing the Mob, is doing very, very, very well. And he'll be on to talk about that. And then you guys both mentioned, Frank and Juliet, that in Georgia,
the little kids are getting vaccinated. My son Gabriel is set to be a bar mitzvah boy in November. He'll turn 13.
Aww.
And we're going to go to Israel, assuming it's still there. Dove Hyken is on his way there today, by the way.
Wow.
And so Dr. Nicole Sapphire, my friend, is going to come on and tell me whether I should or should not vaccinate Gabe. I'm not going to unless she really convinces me. So we'll talk to the
lovely. That's a lot of pressure for an appearance.
A lot of
pressure.
She
really convinces you. Okay.
That's what I told her. I said, your job is to come on today and explain to me why or why not Gabe should or should not get vaccinated. So she's a good sport, Nicole, and lovely at that. So she'll be on today. And then so yesterday I go to this big event in Columbus Circle. And every important Italian-American is there outside of you, Frank, and you, Juliet. Arthur Idala, Joe Piscopo was great. Curtis was there, Fernando Mateo was there, Letitia Romaro, all these folks. But the first person I see is Joe Borelli, who's a wonderful guy, councilman, Staten Island. I know he's your best
friend. His son was our ring bearer when we got married.
How about that? Mm-hmm. He's a super guy. I love the guy. And he's actually very, very bright. And he should be, to be honest, in an even loftier position in politics. That's how smart he is. So I walk towards the podium and he goes, oh, my God, you look amazing. I go, Joe, you're on the show tomorrow. That's it. I don't even know what he's talking about. I have no idea.
He's got your number, man. He has got your number.
Wait a second.
Oh, my God. It's that easy.
But what if he actually felt that way? What do you mean he's got my number? What if he saw me and he said, man, you look great.
He's a smart guy. You're right about that.
So listen, if you see Sid Rosenberg walking the streets of New York City and you want to be, you know, you want to have your 15 minutes of fame, just tell him how hot he looks. And you'll be on the show. No problem.
It's so pathetic, but so true. Juliet, you're right. I got home and I said, you're coming on the show. Do you want that? He said, I want nothing more. I said, you're on.
He now, wants nothing even more than to be on this show with you.
Yes.
He doesn't want millions of dollars. He doesn't need a new Mercedes. He wants to be with you.
Now that Juliet said that, what's more pathetic? Me inviting him on because he said I look good, or him trying to convince me this is the highlight of his life when, as Juliet points out, millions of dollars. Now he's married, right?
Yes, a beautiful wife.
They're always beautiful, of course. What did I expect you to say? What an ugly girl.
If you saw the photo of his wife, she's very, very, very attractive.
Well, he's a very handsome kid.
He's hitting out of his weight class with this wife.
Oh, really?
I'll tell you. Yes.
By the way, if I hear that one more time, if I get one more, you outkicked your coverage text, I'm going to punch somebody across the face.
All right. Well, hey, I'll brace for impact. So are you upset that Andrew Yang changed his tune on the Israel situation?
I'm very upset. But again, I have zero allegiance to Andrew. Curtis was there yesterday. He's my guy. Then now, if anybody else has to win, it's Eric Adams. Eric has been solid in his support for Israel. By the way, he's going to win easily, I think. I really do. Andrew Stein, great column, which Katzimatidis sent me this morning, on Eric Adams Today. And Eric is doing a better job here down the stretch than Andrew Yang, who's hurt himself the last couple
of weeks. Well, we'll see what happens in tonight's debate. It'll be interesting to see if Adams and Yang mix it up a little bit.
You mean physically?
No, well, no. Oh. We'll spar on the
that
issues.
That would be interesting.
That'll be on New York 1.
That would be fun, right, Juliet?
All right. Stay tuned to the very handsome Sid Rosenberg coming up at 6:30.
Sid Rosenberg, he's so hot right now.
And the very smart Joe Borelli, who will be featured on that show.
With the hot wife.
That's right. I mean, have you seen a picture of Rachel Borelli?
I have not. I don't even know what he looks like.
Oh, well, he looks like me with a beard and a little bit more paunch and a little bit less hair.
Is he related to the Borelli that was the cop?
No, okay. I don't believe he was. He okay. is, no.
That worked on the Son of Sam case.
No, I don't believe that he was.
And by the way, it's Sons of Sam.
I am looking forward to seeing that documentary.
Please do. It is fantastic. It really is.
It looks great. I saw the trailer. It looks terrific.
Well, I'm off to take Winnie to get fixed.
Oh, yeah. Rough day for Winnie.
It is going to be a tough day. We have to leave her at the little hospital. Oh God, I'm going to freak out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. But
it's the best thing.
It is the best thing. Spay and neuter your pets.
Absolutely. As the great Bob Barker says, I try to say that once a day.
I know. I hear you say that. You have your little slogans for the end of the show.
Yeah, that's
every
right.
Show.
That's right. We have to work on a good joint slogan here.
We do.
Yeah.
We'll save it for fair the post-room meeting.
I think somebody took that. I can't remember
who. Who was that?
I want to remind people, tonight at 5 p.m., stay tuned right here on this radio station. Listen to President Trump. He's going to be on live. with Rita Cosby for a half hour. And if you want to submit questions, you can do so at WABCRadio.com. I'll see you tomorrow, Juliet. Good luck to winning. Joe Nolan's got the traffic.
78 as you start to come up into 173, right where all these roads come together out there in Bloomsbury, New Jersey. There is an accident involving a tractor trailer. 78 is backed up big time as you come eastbound, so just be aware of that if you're coming out of Pennsylvania, coming into New Jersey on I-78 in out there in Hunterdon County. Queensbound, Throgs Neck Bridge, new construction pattern. Remember that. Now, if you're Bronxbound at the Whitestone Bridge, a disabled vehicle, that's in the right lane. Southern State westbound at the Wantagh, we continue to have delays. And again, that is because of an earlier stall. But the stall itself now is out of the way, and everything else is running pretty much on or close to schedule on mass transit. We do have a bit of a problem, though, on the F trains northbound. Signal problems coming into Times Square. An alternate side again today is suspended. This support of service of Audible gives spring a whole new sound with Audible Plus. Listen all you want to thousands of select Audible originals, audiobooks, and podcasts, including exclusive series. Start a 30-day trial free when you sign up at audible.com. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.